A new way to produce transfusible blood in the laboratory is being developed by UK researchers. Every day, a country the size of ours gets through about 2 tons of donated blood. At the moment, all of it needs to come out of someone else's arm.
But now, researchers have found a way to grow more blood cells from donated blood that could be used to top up and even maybe one day replace traditional supplies. Cedric Givert from Cambridge University's Department of Haematology is one of the team behind a trial to put these lab-grown blood cells through their paces in real patients. So how do you grow this new blood, Cedric?
What we have to do is to take stem cells that are present in anyone's blood, including donated blood, and we put them in special solutions with growth factors. It's a bit like growing plants and feeding your plants. And then over a period of 20 days, thereabout, they will multiply, but they will also change their nature from a stem cell to a mature red cell.
And do they, to all intents and purposes, look like, smell like, taste like, and work like a normal red blood cell?
Absolutely. We put them through their paces in laboratories through a series of tests before the clinical trial to make sure they absolutely behave the same way as a donor-derived red blood cell.
And you're obviously sufficiently happy that this works well enough and safely enough, you're now going to put these into real patients?
We are actually starting very small with healthy volunteers, and we only produce 2 teaspoons of those red cells to then do this clinical trial that is currently ongoing. We want to check whether these laboratory-produced red cells last longer in a circulation compared to donor-derived red cells.
Why should they?
Simply because donated blood contains red cells that are newly born, but also red cells that have been circulated for 2 or 3 months that are very old, and they will disappear from circulation quite promptly. Whereas the cells that we produce in the laboratory all are born at the same time, so they're all young. So they should survive in the circulation on average much longer than a donated blood.
These cells that we're talking about, though, they are fractions of a millimetre across. How on earth are you going to track a teaspoonful of those over time to work out how long they are there?
We label them with a very, very small amount of radioactivity before we re-inject them. And then we take serous blood sample from the volunteer taking part in a trial who are receiving those blood cells. And then we use a machine to detect these very, very small amount of radioactivity. Over time, that radioactivity will fade because those red cells will gradually disappear from circulation. And as we measure the fade, that gives us an idea how long those cells survive in circulation.
And the advantage would be if you have cells that live longer, a patient who needs a blood donation wouldn't need their blood transfusion as frequently because what you're giving them would last longer.
Absolutely. This is absolutely transformational for patients who've got genetic disorders whose life really depend on being transfused regularly. At the moment, they are transfused every 2 to 3 weeks. We could potentially transfuse them every 6 to 8 weeks.
You're obviously comfortable that these cells are safe. One always worries when you take stem cells and then you grow them and stimulate them in the lab that they then turn into things that you would rather they didn't, like cancer cells, for example. What checks and balances are there to make sure that can't happen?
One of the big advantages that red cells don't contain a nucleus, so they can't multiply, they can't become cancerous.
But the stem cells can.
The stem cells can, but the purification of the product that we make in the lab at the last step takes away any cell that contains a nucleus.
So it's just the blood that's left over, so it should, in theory, be very safe. How much can you make? I know you're saying in this case that it's going to be a couple of teaspoonfuls for the purpose of experimentation, but if this is going to be practically used, you're going to have to make a lot of blood. How scalable is this?
It is scalable. Absolutely. And manufacturing large quantity of cells is something that has really taken off in the last decade. But in particular, the pandemic has shown us how much more we can scale cell cultures. In this case, it was to produce the vaccine. But some of those technologies are directly applicable to what we want to do with the red blood cells.
Well, we wish you luck. And you can come back and tell us how the trial is going pretty soon. Cedric Givert there from the University of Cambridge. Thank you.